Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. Wayne from Melody. Join us here any second. You're listening to Financial Survival. It is Thursday, 19 January, 2023. Wayne from Melody will be with us here any second, I'm sure. I don't know if she was there a minute ago and took off somewhere, but she'll be back, I promise. But today we're going to, as always, go through a market. Melody will come back with the markets and the prices on gold and different things. And if you're watching, gold in the last couple of weeks has come up a pretty significant amount. And it's fun to see it grow and know that when you bought it 4, 5, 6 years ago or longer, it's worth more than it was then. That kind of makes you feel like maybe you've done something wise for a change, does it not? Again, Melly, you tell me when you're on here, and we'll get started. I'd like to start, if I could, Dave, something. We'll let Melly do the market as soon as she gets on here. But I want to share some statements, because this to me is funny, but it's also sad. Some statements made by politicians. Now, all these happen to be Democrats, folks. No, I don't have any respect for Republicans either, to tell you the truth. Very few of them I respect at all. But these statements are funny. They would be funny, I guess, if they weren't true. But they're true. I want to read some statements from some people we know. Everybody hears things about every day. This one comes from Kamala Harris. She said, Gorsuch isn't fit to serve because he uses law and not emotions. Yeah. That's what she said. Barack Obama said, America is no longer what it could be, what it was, once was. And I say to myself, I don't want that future for my children. These are politicians that are running the country, supposedly. Barack Obama also said, I have campaigned in all 57 states. My gosh. Nancy Pelosi said this in 2006, you don't need God anymore. You have us Democrats. The sad part is, she told the truth. People believe that. Representative Sheila Jackson said, homicide is a leading cause of murder. Now, this is actually being said, folks, by people that are in office. Joe Biden said, no ordinary American cares about the constitutional rights. The sad part is, he's right. Because the people don't know what the constitutional rights are. So they don't care. This comes from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Owning guns is not a right. If it were a right, it would be in the Constitution. Obama said this too. You remember this, I'm sure. You have a business. You didn't build that. Someone else did. Socialist Bernie Sanders said, Social Security has nothing to do with the deficit. Okay. Maxine Waters said this in 2017. My fear is that if North Korea nukes us, Trump is going to get us into a war. These are actual statements, people. And Nancy Pelosi said this, you need to vote for Democrats. Now pay attention. This is 2019. You need to vote for the Democrats, otherwise illegals will lose their rights. What do you think, Melody? Aren't you excited to have those in office?
Yeah, but you know what? It's both sides, too. Wasn't it Bush, George Bush, the son, who said the Constitution is just a GD piece of paper?
Yep. That's what he said. But these things, they're funny, but they're not funny because they're coming from people who are senators and vice presidents and presidents.
That's puzzling. Great educations.
Well, Obama said we have 57 states. I'm still waiting for the other 7 to show up. But I heard another politician online the other day, I believe it was, said that they tried to canvass all 51 states. So I'm still looking for the other 51st one. Maybe it's on the horizon. I don't know. But this is America today, Melody. People can't
even Trump. It wasn't Trump even had that number wrong, I think, maybe.
I don't know. He may have.
I mean, I don't think anybody knows how many states we have.
So I thought I'd share that before we get into serious stuff. I know you got markets to do yet, but I wanted to share that because I read them and I snickered, but then I almost cried.
Yeah,
but my grandchildren are being reared in this nation today that has changed so much in my lifetime that if I were to die in the 50s, come back today, I wouldn't recognize this country.
Yeah.
No way. But you go ahead. I'll be quiet now.
Well, I know. Well, we did have a good day in gold today. It's still off $3 from its high, but right now in the New York spot price, we're looking at $27.90, up at $1,933. Silver was up 41 cents at $23.95. Platinum was down $2 at 1,046, and palladium was up 42, 1,826. You have the paper markets today. They were up and down, and now the Dow was down 252 points at 33,044. The S&P down 30 at 38.98. The NASDAQ was down 104, almost 1% at 10,852. Europe was negative across the board. Asia, Shanghai was higher, not by much, 15 points. 10-year yield today, 3.39%. That is a little bit higher. And natural gas was lower by 3.33% to 3.20. And I did forget to do the USDX today. That was down 0.36 at 102.04. And crude oil was up 90 cents at 80.38. And, you know, Butch, when I looked at the news this morning and the first big headlines, other than the debt ceiling and blah, 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 was Russia warns nukes if defeated.
Oh, yes, I got that article in my hand here. We're going to share it in a little bit. Yes.
And yes. So I was beginning to, supposedly the U.S. Coast Guard also confirmed it's monitoring a suspicious Russian ship that has been sailing off the coast of Hawaii. It's supposedly an intelligent vessel. This was in the U.S. Coast Guard said yesterday. And they've been doing it in recent weeks. And now the area of the coast of Hawaii where the ship was spotted, known as the U.S. Economic Exclusive Zone, is open for international ships to pass through. It added that while ships can transit freely through the area, foreign flag military vessels have often been observed operating and loitering within the Coast Guard district. So we really don't know if this is normal for that. Since they can, lots of times we've been told you can, they'll spot Russian subs on the East Coast and so forth. But there's a certain area but that's kind of common too. And then it's usually taken out of context. But when you see headlines, and we see that Germany said that if the U.S. sends tanks, they will too, but they're not going to send tanks to Ukraine unless the U.S. does. There's another, I think it was Poland, or one of them said that they're sending tanks. Maybe it was the U.K. was going to send a tank to Ukraine. You got old Zelensky over there at Davos. You know, my question is, what's he doing at Davos if he's at home? He should be at home fighting a war. But hey, that's what Davos is all about. Where do they go from here and what are they going to do about it? So it's just, these are all signs, Butch, that
they are. They are. Yes, they are. I have several articles out along this line myself because I do believe with all my heart World War III's already started.
I do too.
And God help us when it breaks out to full warfare. Earth is not going to be a place somebody is going to want to live. It's going to be so nasty.
So it's, Bob Chapman, I remember he said World War III will begin in the Baltics, and that's exactly where all of this is heating up with. So it is certainly disturbing.
I wish Bob could see what's happening now with what he told us years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really do. I believe he could say, I told you so and mean it. But anyway, go ahead.
And to see those that are in office and are in control, that's what makes us so frightening.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, but
because whatever they're going to do, they're going to do before the election.
That is. I thought about the same thing the other day. They're going to have to because they got a year and a half or so.
Yeah,
and it's not looking good. But Kissinger even flipped. He says Ukraine should join NATO. That's exactly why Russia went into Ukraine. The former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said in a video address to the World Economic Forum on Tuesday, The Ukraine joining NATO would be an appropriate outcome of the war, reversing its previous position that Kyiv shouldn't join the Western military alliance. Before this war, I was opposed to membership of Ukraine in NATO because I feared that it would start exactly the process we have seen now, Kistrin said. Now that this process has reached this level, the idea of neutral Ukraine under these conditions is no longer meaningful. So, in other words, we have nothing to lose. Go ahead and join now. You're already at war. So just push Russia further. Yeah, just do more to provoke them. I mean, you're at war now. Don't worry about it. And this is the mindset of people that are planning their next move, Melody. And Russia is allegedly preparing for a new offensive that could see 700,000 soldiers pour into Ukraine. Ukraine has been warning over the winter that Vladimir Putin's force will be gearing up for a renewed attack in 2023. It's been nearly 11 months since Medvedev invaded Ukraine, sending his forces pouring over the border to march on Kyiv. But it was not the days long special military operation Putin had his men hoped it would be. And now more than 117,000 Russians are lying dead in the muddy battlefields of Ukraine. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. The war has seen Vlad's forces thrown back, and any hopes of quick victory have sunk to the bottom of the Black Sea. But despite staggering losses, the Russian army is understood to be more than 1 million men strong, with another 2 million reservists who could be called up. And Putin's defense boss, Sergei Shoigu, has announced plans to swell the number of active personnel to 1.5 million from 2023. With so many troops still ready to be turned against Ukraine, there's still room for a major escalation by the Russians. Putin's future is now tied to his success or failure in the war, with rumors swirling around his health and his fears of a coup. So that's just two articles that tie together. Now, Melly, this next article, really pay attention, because this is scary. Victory in Ukraine is unavoidable. An invasion was an effort to stop this war in Donbass. Now, and the next article, that even gets more alarming. In a highly anticipated speech Wednesday on the occasion of the 28th anniversary of the Red Army breaking the Nazi siege of St. Petersburg on January 18, 1943, President Vladimir Putin said the victory in Ukraine is unavoidable. Addressing military veterans, Putin said large-scale combat operations involving heavy weapons, artillery, tanks, and aircraft haven't stopped in Donbass since 2014. He added, All that we're going to do doing today is part of a special military operation in attempt to stop this war. This is the meaning of operation, protecting people who have lived on those territories. And yes, Ukraine and Donbass have been at war since 2014. The talk was filled with the usual themes emphasized since the February invasion, but absent was what many pundits and officials in the West were anticipating when the speech was first unveiled a day ago, a formal declaration of war. But the full mobilization has yet to come. Instead, he again reviewed Moscow's perspective of the causes underlying the conflict. He asserted that Russia attempted to negotiate a peaceful settlement to the years running war in Donbass in order to prevent the need to send troops, but emphasized we were just duped and cheated by Ukraine and the West. He also said that Russia has had a duty to protect the Russian speakers of Ukraine, of eastern Ukraine. The Zelensky government has, as of late, cracked down even harder on Russian culture, placing severe restrictions on Russian books and music, even arresting Ukrainian Orthodox clerics that maintain unity with Moscow Church. So this is, folks, it's not looking good. Putin ally warns NATO of nuclear war if Russia is defeated in Ukraine. This is serious, Melody. An ally of President Vladimir Putin warned NATO on Thursday a defeat of Russia in Ukraine could trigger a nuclear war, while the head of the Russian Orthodox Church said the world would end if the West tried to destroy Russia. Did you hear that part?
Well, you know, I mean, if I was, you know, I mean, I wouldn't warn anyone if I thought I was going to be defeated and I was going to do, you know, a nuke, because they would just nuke me first. So, yeah. I don't know on either side. We really don't know what's going on. I mean,
No, we don't.
I mean, we can really look. I mean, yes, you know, Russia's been doing this. You know, they've been in there doing that for a long time. Does it make it right? You know what? I can't agree with it. I mean, I don't agree with them being in Ukraine. But I also see where the West doesn't do anything to stop it either. There's no discussions.
All they had to do was agree not to join NATO, and now they're pushing it.
Well, I'm sure there is probably other things, too. To me, I think that's pretty, because that's what I reported on, and that's what we all say. But, you know, it's probably a little more deeper than that, because it goes back so many years and so forth. But that was certainly a motivator of it all. But I don't think that's the only one that was in there. And again, that could have been just propaganda pushed out by Russia saying that's what made us go in there. I'm sure it did have a big impact. But we really don't know. But there's nobody talking. Nobody wants it to stop.
No, that's the problem. That's a problem. Because this fellow went on to say the defeat of a nuclear power in a conventional war may trigger a nuclear war. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, who serves as the deputy chairman, said this. Nuclear powers have never lost major conflicts on which their fate depends, said Medvedev. So I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, when there was nukes before, nobody else had them. We were the only one who had them. So, yeah, there was no retaliation.
And now Zelensky said that he thinks Putin may be dead.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah. Who knows? Zelensky,
he's screwy.
He's still a comedian.
I know. And as this said, now I don't understand who to talk to. I'm not sure whether the president of Russia is still alive. This is what we're seeing, the insanity, the absolute
He is stirring it up.
Yes, he is. That's the whole point. Both sides are causing confusion. Zelensky is not fit to lead. Of course, neither is Putin, but neither is Biden, but we have what we have. So this is where we are. This is the world today. And whether I like it or not, I think we're right on the edge of something that no one wants to even think about. That's scary.
And the amount of money that we've spent, the weaponry that we've sent, the training that we're doing, we don't need to be there.
And no, we don't.
It might be wrong for him. For Putin, it might be wrong for Putin to have done what he's done to Ukraine, but it also makes us wrong for what the United States is doing, and we should have kept our nose out of it. Let the Ukrainian people fight if they want to fight and defend. We have given them money to do what they needed to do, but stay out of it. It's not our war.
We spent well over $100 billion. And I just watched a video this the other day. What could they have done with $100 billion to make life a little bit easier in the United States for people that really do need help? What could they have done with that $100 billion-plus to change things in this country?
And I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. My money's got me feeling like a jerk. $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Working for a living. Never, never working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as common sense voices of integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are at night. Mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded?
All righty, folks, we're back. I was waiting for Melody to bring us in, but I guess I'm going to.
Oh, you couldn't? I was listening to the music.
Oh, I thought you was waiting for me to bring it in. All right, Melody.
No, I was trying to.
You go right ahead.
I wanted you to zen out and relax and, you know, just take deep breaths and
well, tell Todd to play a little bit of
come
to play the Everly Brothers, Dream, 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 and I'll just go with the relaxation. Get that
there
ready,
you go, Todd. You heard that,
Everly Brothers,
didn't
Dream, Dream, Dream. That's music. Anyway,
we probably all need that.
We do. We do. You go ahead.
Oh, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188 for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We have a few more of those $50 face value bags, just a couple more. And I'll still do them at yesterday's price, even though silver's up 41 cents. $1,020 for a $50 face value of 90% silver quarters. So it's a deal. I've got like three of them left at that price. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. It is Thursday today, right, Butch?
It is.
Because, you know, it's throwing me off because you're usually not here on a Thursday. It means it should be Friday.
I thought I'd grace with my presence today.
Well, you have. So what's next on your list?
All right, this next article is out of Economic Collapse blog. And I didn't copy it all off, but it's important enough to read what I have to get this point across. Media admits we are facing the worst food crisis in modern history. People on the other side of the planet are dropping dead from starvation right now, but most people don't even realize that this is happening. Unfortunately, most people just assume that everything is fine and dandy. If you're one of those people that believe that everything is just wonderful, I would encourage you to pay close attention to the details I'm about to share with you. Global hunger is rapidly spreading, and that is because global food supplies have been getting tighter and tighter. If current trends continue, we could potentially be facing a nightmare scenario before this calendar year is over. And I agree with that. I really do. Pakistan is not one of the poorest nations in the world, but the lack of affordable food is starting to cause panic inside the country. The following comes from the Time magazine. Last Saturday in Mapar Khas, a city in Pakistan's Sindh province, hundreds of people lined up for hours outside a park to buy subsidized wheat flour, offered for 65 rubies a kilogram instead of the current inflated rate of 140 to 160 rubies. When a few trucks arrived, the crowd surged forward, leaving several injured. One man, Hussein Kahi, who was there to bring a 5-kilogram bag of flour home for his wife and children, was crushed and killed in the chaos. Folks, that's coming to America. We don't believe that, but it's coming to America. We are seeing similar things happen all over the planet. Just because you may still have enough food to eat doesn't mean that everybody else is okay. In fact, things have already gotten so bad that even CNN is admitting that we are facing the worst food crisis in modern history. Yet the world is still in the grips of the worst food crisis in modern history as Russia's war in Ukraine shakes the global agriculture systems, already grappling with the effects of extreme weather and the pandemic. Market conditions may have improved in recent months, but experts do not expect imminent relief. That means more pain for vulnerable communities already struggling with hunger. It also boosts the risk of starvation and famine in countries such as Somalia, which is contending with what the United Nations describes as a catastrophic food emergency. Sadly, it isn't just Somalia where the food crisis has reached catastrophic proportions. According to Reuters, the entire continent is now dealing with the worst food crisis that Africa has ever seen. Across Africa, from the east to west, people are experiencing a food crisis that is bigger and more complex than the continent has ever seen, say diplomats and humanitarian workers. At one hospital in Somalia, grieving mothers are regularly bringing in very young children that have literally starved to death. "Sometimes mothers bring in us dead children," said Farna Muhammad Jama, head nurse at the pediatric emergency unit, "and they don't know they're dead." Wow. Of course, food supplies continue to get tighter on our side of the planet as well. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, our corn harvest this year was the smallest in 15 years. Now, folks, let that sink in. This is not good. That wouldn't be so bad if our population was still the same size. And this is the way this 2008 was the last time it was this small. But this says that wouldn't be so bad if our population was still the same size it was back in 2008. And obviously, folks, in the last year, we added 5 million more people of illegal aliens thanks to Biden. In 1 year's time, we added 5 million more people. Other harvests have been extremely disappointing, too, and that is one of the factors that has been steadily driving up food prices. As we move forward, the widespread use of beetle burgers is one of the solutions that the global elite are starting to push. Beetle burgers could soon be feeding or helping to feed the world, according to new research. The creepy crawler's larvae, better known as mealworms, could act as a meat alternative to alleviate hunger from worldwide. The process uses a fraction of the land and water and emits a smaller carbon footprint in comparison to traditional farming. To make this a reality, French biotech company Yinsect, is planning a global network of insect farms, including nurseries and slaughterhouses. I wonder how you slaughter a beetle. But anyway, I guess I have to gut them first. But a pilot plant has already been set up at Dole in the region of France. So Dole's already set up a factory to do this. Doesn't that just sound yummy? Of course, these beetle burgers will just be a drop in the bucket. No matter what the global elite try, they will not be able to stop the world's food crisis in modern history. So I would encourage you to stock up while you can. Global food supplies are getting a little bit tighter with each passing day, and I have a feeling that 2023 will have lots of unexpected surprises for all of us. Melody, I just can't wait to try a beetle burger. And I want to go to the plant where they slaughter them. I wonder how they slaughter them. I mean, after you slaughter them, you have to gut them and clean them. I mean, how do you slaughter a beetle to get ready to eat?
I don't know.
This is for real stuff, Melody. We're talking about for real things here. Mealworms. Are they going to grow them and slaughter them and feed them to us?
Well, you know, what's interesting is there was an article out today. It was just released about an hour ago, and this was from the BBC. And this is about, as we see the egg prices rise, so do seizures at U.S. borders. Attempts to smuggle eggs. We're smuggling eggs from Mexico or Canada can result in fines of up to $10,000. That's up to $10,000. And yet soaring egg prices in the U.S. have tempted many to cross the border where they can be bought for half the price. Half the price at our high prices. Seizures at border posts have spiked by more than 100%. U.S. egg prices were up 60% in December compared to the previous year. And between October 1 and 31 December alone, egg and poultry seizures rose 108%.
Oh, wow.
Local residents of San Diego attempt to, Jennifer DeLa the director of Customs and Border Protection San Diego Field Operations tweeted that her office has recently noticed an increase in the number of eggs intercepted at our ports of entry. For some local entrants, attempts to purchase eggs in Mexico come as no surprise. A local affiliate of the BBC's U.S. partner, CBS, reported that a carton of dozen eggs costs nearly $8 at some mini markets in border communities compared to than $3 across the border in Tijuana. Our 100-count eggs are $40. If you buy them separately, they cost you $10. And it's obviously more expensive if you buy five. Border Report, a website which focuses on the U.S.-Mexican border, reported a similar trend along the border between El Paso, where eggs often cost about $6. And Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, where a carton of eggs costs approximately $3.40. I mean, can you believe that?
Yeah, they're
smuggling eggs. Now, the price of a dozen large eggs stood at $1.93 in January a year ago, compared to $4.25 in December. And yet there's places $10 for an egg, $9.99 for an egg. I mean, it's crazy.
It's hard to comprehend that. It truly is. It's hard to comprehend. The next article ties in with this also as far as people hurting for money. But it's just smuggling eggs. Who would ever be able to even have a dream in a science fiction movie that people would be smuggling eggs across the border? I mean,
it's not funny, this is what's going to happen, and multiply what's happening now by 100
or
of
more,
things that are going to be going wrong in situations
flying,
like this.
If the nukes start flying, it's pretty much over. But along the same line about prices, because this is tied right in, and this is, we see this happening, and I know it's happening, but by the grace of God, I'm not affected by this yet as far as credit cards, but many people are. The U.S. consumer has cracked. Discover plunges after shocking charge-off forecast. 1 week ago, we looked at the latest consumer credit data, where we found that not one but two flashing red alerts. First, the total amount of credit card debt hit a new all-time high, which, however, was to be expected from one of the most consistently increasing series across all U.S. economic data, and one which predictably is correlated to U.S. savings rate, which is at all-time lows. Second, thanks to the Fed's crusade to spark a great recession, the average rate across U.S. credit cards just rose to an all-time high of 19%+. Summarizing these ominous trends, here we go. The combination of record-high credit card debt and record-high credit card interest is nothing short of a catastrophic for both the U.S. economy and the strapped consumer who has no choice but to keep buying on credit while hoping next month's bill will somehow not come. Unfortunately, it will, and at some point in the very near future, this will also translate into massive loan losses for U.S. consumer banks. That's when Powell will finally panic. Melly, I knew the credit card was at record highs, and I knew interest rates going up. I hadn't tied the two together. Makes perfect sense. It's a double whammy on the people.
Yeah, I know.
Inflation plus interest is huge. This is what we're seeing, and they think it's going to just all of a sudden just blow away. It's going to come to an end. I don't think so, people. You haven't seen anything yet. I promise you need to call Melody and get some precious metals for reserve. You need to find somewhere to find some food, sober food. In my broadcast, we offer new manna. Well, you need these things. I've got them. Not everything I like to have, but I've got some. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not a hypocrite. What I tell you, I think you, I do, I've already done. I will never do it. I will never say it if I hadn't already done it. Stocked up on guns and ammo also. That's terrible, preacher. Well, you do what you want to. I'm preparing for whatever comes. This is the world we face today. This is no longer Shangri-La. in the 1950s America. That's gone forever and ever and ever. Melanie, go ahead.
No, I agree. And everything we hear more and more, I mean, people are using their creds and their credit cards and their debt because they can't afford with what's going on. This is their daily living expenses that they're using. We're flush in a world of debt. The day of reckoning will affect each and every one of us, even though, you know, we try to take care of ourselves and we do what's best for us. And, you know, we stay out of trouble. We stay out of debt. We pay our bills and live our lives. But it's there. It's what they did to our country, to countries around the world, the elite, Wall Street, governments, politicians, multinational corporations. You know, so much of it is, you know, yes, we're evolving as a, you know, as we became more modernized, more, you know, more technology and everything else. It made everybody communications. Sure, it all opened. But we didn't have good people leading. They all used what became available to them to destroy instead of to create.
That's true. That's true.
And so, yes, a lot of our problems is evolution. And then you have an elite, the evolution of our countries, of the world, and of progress to some degree. But the evil of it outweighed to this point, and we all know how it ends and so forth. So, but the evil was able to take over and lead the charge, and they didn't use what the good things could have been used for the good.
They never have. I mean, ever stop and think, too, that we never had technology before to link everybody together with technology on the computers and digital currencies. We never had that availability before worldwide. We do now. So what better time to collapse the economies of the world to usher in a digital currency, worldwide currency, a cashless society? What better time to bring people in on this because they're afraid not to take it because they have to? What better timing, Melody, to destroy the world's economy and food supply to force people to go digital?
Yeah.
You see, that this isn't a coincidence. This didn't come together and correlate so well by accident. You know that. This has been planned for a long time. A long time. And now I think they're on the verge of getting it done. I really do. And what we have to go to the bank to do transactions or pay your bills, if you don't follow the rules, you don't take a certain number or whatever it may be to transact, how are you going to do it? They're taking us right down the chute, right into the beast system, and it's happening very quickly now. It took a long time to get put together, but the puzzle's almost done, and the last few pieces are going in place pretty quickly. That's my opinion. In my opinion, a $5 buy a cup of coffee somewhere. You still
okay.
There?
Okay. I'm here.
All right. Get ready to go on a break. I thought you might want to take us out.
I don't think there's anything else that needs to be said. It's a day of reckoning, and we will all be hit. And a lot of these things that we see are all distractions. And that's how you have to look at things. And the bottom line is, where do we go from here? And I don't think I don't think anybody who creates a where do we go from here can create a very nice picture. But
no.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, play that for a while. Crank it up.
When I want you in my arms, when I want you, and all your charms, whenever I want you, all I have to do.
Tell me that isn't good, Melody. Isn't that relaxing?
What do you mean it's relaxing? What do you really think it's relaxing? I don't know. I'm not so sure. I don't think. Yes, it is. It's a nice song.
That is a nice song. That was music. You can understand what they're saying, and the melody was soft, and it didn't get you all hyped up. It just let you listen to the pretty music. Thank you, Todd. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I really do. Melody, you go ahead and take off if you want to. I'll join you when you're ready.
How comes he always plays your songs that you request, but he never ever.
I don't think he likes rap.
Oh, he doesn't? Oh, no, maybe that's why. Okay. Okie doke. What's next?
Pozar was right. Saudi's confirmed.
So that music really did it, didn't it?
It works,
it just
man.
Really,
it works.
Really worked.
Give me some more of that stuff. Saudis confirmed non-dollar oil trade plans in Davos. Early this month, from former New York Fed repo guru Sultan Pazar wrote one of his most important reports of 2022, in which he described how Putin could unleash hell on the Western financial system by demanding that instead of dollars, Russian oil exporters now are paid in gold. Let me repeat that. Russian oil exporters are paid in gold. Effective pegging oil to gold and launching a petro gold. If they do that, folks, the dollar's dead. Then China's President Yi's visit with Saudi and GCC leaders marked the birth of the petro yuan and a leap in China's growing encumbrance of the OPEC plus oil and gas reserves. That's because with the China's GCC summit, China can now claim to have built a special relationship with not only with the plus sign on OPEC, Russia, but with Iran and all of OPEC. At the time, Zolan urged the reader to think of the timing of this statement in a diplomatic sense. President Yi communicated messages on Remini invoicing, not during the first day of his visit when he met with only Saudi leadership, but during the second day of his visit when he met with the leadership of all the GCC countries to signal the following. GCC oil flowing east, plus Remini invoicing the dawn of the petro yuan. Folks, this is imminent. It's coming. And when it does happen, the U.S. dollar is still be used around the world in some places. But this is going to be a huge, huge hit that we can't even comprehend. Think about this. If since this started with the the petro dollar back in the 1970s, since 1971, dollars dropped 85% in value. 85% in value, even though it's been backed by oil. What's going to happen when the oil no longer backs it? Think about this. Talk about perfect timing to bring in a digital currency in the U.S. so people can survive and a universal basic income. Talk about perfect timing. Folks, this is planned. This is where we're headed. Melody, comments?
No, and who's going to continue to buy oil, who buy from the Saudis with dollars? Everybody, you have, and anybody from Europe maybe? But who else around the world is going to support that isn't that we haven't meddled into their business and to where it hasn't turned out well? You think they're going to continue to buy it in dollars? Highly unlikely.
I think it's very unlikely. I don't even think Europe at this point, if it's backed by gold. I don't. If the ruble's backed by gold and the yuan, it takes a priority also. I don't think Europe's going to be able to buy the dollar. What are they going to do with it? It'll be worth nothing. America will be done financially. It'll be over. The dollar will be dead, basically. Mm-hmm. And buyer cancellation rate at top U.S. home builder surpasses 2008 levels. Now, folks, this is really heading to something big. The latest evidence that the Fed chair Jerome Powell's most aggressive interest rate hikes in a generation and spiking mortgage rates might trigger a housing reset is the latest earnings report from KB Home, one of the nation's largest publicly traded home builders. What caught our attention in the report was that the skyrocketing buyer cancellation rate in the fourth quarter, now folks, listen to this, the rate spiked to 68%, up from 35% in the third quarter and up from 13% from the fourth quarter of 2021. Current conditions remain challenging. High mortgage rates and persistent inflation, together with an uncertain economy, have made home buyers more cautious since the middle of last year. As such, in the fourth quarter, we prioritized delivering our large backlog and protecting our higher margins over taking steps to stimulate additional sales during this seasonally slower time frame. For some context, 68% cancellation rate surpasses even the darkest days of the 2008 crash. The average back then was about 47%. Now let that sink in. The cancellation rate, the fourth quarter of last year, 68% compared to 2008, which was huge, was 47%, 21% more than it was back then. Melly, what do you think about that?
Well, it's just really amazing, isn't it?
But how 2008, you and I remember that. I remember mm-hmm. being warned about it by Bob and others. It was coming, and it happened. And it hurt, and we, you and I, bailed out banks for billions of dollars.
Yep.
And BlackRock bailed themselves out with taxpayers' money.
Of course.
And here we sit with the worst that it was in 2008.
You know, I wanted to share, maybe I'll share it maybe on tomorrow's program about the Bank of Japan. And where they're at, and they've been using, you know, quantitative easing, negative rates, for over 20 years, and they pretty, even though we've all been on a fiat system, they've really created a lot of those programs that we used in 2008 and so forth, and continue to use today. And the article was about just how that they can't do it anymore. They can't continue to buy their own debt to keep those rates low. And it has put them into a position where the Bank of Japan could very easily and very soon go belly up. So we've seen banks, you know, too big to fail banks get bailed out. And we've seen other banks fail. But this would be the first central bank that failed. And so it's kind of interesting. No one really knows what the fallout would be. So it's, you know, again, here's just another piece of the puzzle that tells us things are rocky everywhere.
You remember back in the 80s, Japan's economy was a model for the world. They were bragging about how Japan was doing so well.
Yep.
And then, of course, it fell to the wayside. Then it came out with the euro. All the European Union is going to be a model for the whole world with the one currency for the European markets. Mm-hmm. That was mm-hmm. going to be the salvation of Europe and actually the world. It mm-hmm. fell apart. So where do we go from here?
Yeah.
How about digital currencies? How about digital currencies? Mm-hmm. Just a question. Anything you want to add, Melody?
No, sir.
This is, I'm laughing at this, but I feel sorry for the guy. Man discovers brand new EV Hummer will take 5 days to fully charge. Wow. Why bother with the pesky task of sitting at a gas pump for 5 minutes, 5 whole minutes, and filling up your car with gas when you can save the world by driving an electric vehicle, only to find out that it takes up to 5 days to fully charge. That was the question one electric Hummer owner was asking himself this week when he discovered his brand new vehicle would take 5 whole days to charge using a basic at-home charging setup. So you have to buy a higher voltage rate to charge your vehicles. That's going to be cheaper too, you know. But anyway, in a video posted to Post Millennial, the owner proudly states, this is a brand new Hummer, and it's got the largest battery you can buy, 250 kilowatt hours of battery in a truck, in this truck. He then walks into the garage to show the Hummer is plugged into a standard wall outlet. Now it's Sunday morning. Let's see how long it takes to charge it just using the truck's charger and plugging it into a standard wall outlet, he comments on the video. He then opens the door to see the vehicle and shows the display dash, which tells him the vehicle is charging at a rate of 1 mile per hour. It shows this vehicle will be done charging on Friday of the upcoming week. Time to complete charge, Friday at 8:30 a.m. and range increase is 1 mile per hour, he tells the camera. And that's what happens when you try to charge your largest battery truck using a 120 outlet. Of course, you should have a level 2 or fast charger which would make it a lot quicker. So you got to spend money to buy a charger that charges faster, use more electricity to do that, which isn't free, and you save the planet. Good for you. Go. Oh. What do you think, Melody?
Well, you know, I mean, it's and you know what's really sad? It's just like they do all of this half-heartedly. They're forcing us to do all of this. Then you have tons of money being spent for all of this. You know, you have the countries that are committed. If they really want to, and you know they have the technology, how about creating a battery that really works? How about working and creating a battery that you could really use and that would really work? Or do they already have it?
I don't know.
But it does. But it, you know, if they came out with that right away, they probably wouldn't make as much money.
That's very true. And I would think that a Hummer, I never priced a Hummer. That's way out of my league. But a Hummer probably have to cost at least $80,000. I would say.
Oh, I'm sure that the electric Hummers, I think they're 120 or something like that. They're up
there. So why not spend 120 grand for something you got to charge for 5 days, just drive down the road?
It's just, you know, and then it makes all of these, those who are, you know, I'm sure people saw the bits and pieces of Al Gore at Davos and his little speech and so forth, where he talks about the boiling ocean. I mean, they look like they're insane and the act like oceans. It.
The boiling oceans.
Yeah.
Wow. Listen, this though, take that, California. Wyoming legislature's draft resolution banning electric cars by 2035. Yeah, they're going to ban them. The Wyoming legislature is considering a resolution to phase out sales of new electric vehicles in Cowboy State by 2035. The resolution sponsor, Senate Joint Resolution 4, is a response to laws other states are implementing to eliminate gas-powered vehicles. The resolution sponsor, Senator Jim Anderson of Casper, told Cowboy State Daily the intention of the proposal tilted phasing out new electric vehicles sales by 2035 is to push back against bans on new sales of cars with internal combustion engines in states like California and New York. The legislature would be saying, if you don't like our petroleum cars, well, we don't like electric cars, Anderson said. SJ4 states that oil and gas production has been one of the Cowboy State's proud and valued industries that has created countless jobs and revenues for Wyoming throughout its history. Go, Wyoming. Go, 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 go. Good for you. Ban them so they can keep producing oil and feed the people in the state. Maybe what a novel idea. Creating
How
jobs for
that?
People in the state. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It's just amazing. And I sit back and look at this and think, Wyoming is, you know, it's not the most populated state in the world, obviously. But by golly, they're making some sense. And in Germany, the Greens are crying because they had to increase the use of coal to produce electricity by 31%. Yeah, coal's down 30% of the electricity production in Germany, and the Greenies are all upset. But they can't do it any other way. They have no other way to get it. That's what they're supposed to do, turn off the power. So anyway, Germany's made a move in that direction. So I don't know what else to add to that. I really don't know. And one last thing here. In an upcoming court case, AI, artificial intelligence, will tell defendant exactly what to say via earpiece. Now, this is a real story. Could an AI legal assistant really replace a human lawyer? Artificial intelligence isn't just capable of generating a convincing college essay for you or making you look good on your next selfie. It might even help you get out of a speeding ticket in court. An AI-based legal assistant created by San Francisco-based startup Do Not Pay is about to ever advise a defendant in court for the first time, New Science reports, telling them what to say throughout the entire case. According to the company, which is keeping the location name of the defendant secret for privacy reasons, the defendant was charged with speeding. The AI legal assistant will instruct the defendant via an earpiece during the case. If it doesn't work out, Do Not Pay is willing to cover any potential fines. What do you think about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Next time you get a speeding ticket, call this company up, Do Not Pay, and tell me you want to hire a lawyer.
Yeah, so I wonder how much that costs.
I have no idea. Probably more than a speeding ticket would.
I'd probably.
but that's the world we live in, folks. This is you ever remember those cartoons that Woody Woodpecker would say that or Prick Pig said that's all, folks.
Yep.
Well, this is the world today. Plumb insane, and going down that road with joy in their heart and enjoying every minute of it. That's all I can say. I'm through talking for today. It's all yours.
You are.
Yes.
Still have 30 seconds, Butch.
I know. I didn't want to be selfish.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining and filling in today. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, on the 20th of January. I can't believe it's January 20th already. The month is gone just about. And give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. And again, we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.